Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk again about the Kingdom of God, and we're talking specifically about the daily ministration. Mentioned once in the Bible, you would think, based on that particular phrase of daily ministration, which we see in Acts 6, verse 1. So what is this daily administration that we see them talking about there in that Acts, where they elect these men to tend to widows and orphans in the daily ministration? And widows and orphans, taking care of the widows and orphans, we see elsewhere when they mention widows and orphans, they talk about the definition of religion. Pure religion is the visiting of widows and orphans, and you're not just visiting, hi, how are you doing, everything. You're actually taking care of the widows and orphans, because that's what religion was. Religion was how you did that. Pure religion was doing that unspotted from the world. And the word world there isn't age. It isn't inhabited places. It's constitutional orders and systems of government. Because constitutional orders and systems of government at that time, which actually comes, the Greek word comes from kamizo, which means to take care of or carry off. Those are two different ideas, aren't they? No. Protection draws subjection, subjection protection. If you elect a ruler, a arche, a benefactor who can exercise authority, he can take care of you, but he also controls you. These are the fathers of the earth. Who's your daddy? Who's your sugar daddy? Okay, so the church was establishing a daily ministration unspotted by the world, the constitutional orders and systems of government of men like Herod the Great, Augustus Caesar, of course Nero and all his successors as well. They were creating a system of social welfare, of sacrifice, based on faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. This was a major role of the church to establish that. We were to preach the kingdom to every creature. The word creature there actually means institutions, things created by men. You create an organization. The church was created by Christ. It's established with two or more witnesses for the purpose of feeding the sheep, of taking care of the daily ministration. Now, for the apostles to wait on tables, that would distract from their rightly dividing the word, because they were out there preaching the word, the logos, the word. They were telling people the number of disciples, which means students, had greatly increased. They were busy training all these new guys into the mysteries of the kingdom. These guys were learning about the kingdom, not just parables like Jesus was giving out to the general population. But these guys were getting the mysteries of the kingdom. They were learning how to cast out demons. They were learning how to heal the sick. Do you want to learn those things? Well, you got to start taking care of the needy of your society. You have to start gathering together to serve. We're not going to waste our time teaching people who won't take the time to help others how to do these things. We're not going to show you signs and wonders where we got people jumping around and casting out demons. You know, I always remember a YouTube that somebody sent where a guy was supposedly casting out a demon and this guy's writhing on the floor. And I've seen this in real life where guys are writhing on the floor or having demons cast out. Now that's a real possibility, but there's a lot of fakes out there. And in the YouTube, the guy gets a call from his mother and he has to stop the exorcism so that he can talk to his mom. And the preacher realized the guy was faking it. The preacher didn't put him up to it. The guy was just faking it to get attention. And so he started smacking him and chasing him out because he's the demon. But the fact is the pastor didn't even know that he was playing this guy's game. He doesn't really know how to cast out real demons. He's faking it, too. He's faking being a minister. So, anyway, we're not going to give you a lesson on how to cast out demons or how to heal the sick. We're going to give you a lesson on how to become a free people under God, so that the Holy Spirit can dwell amongst you as the living temple of God. And then you will see great miracles, like you did with Stephen, and of course Peter and them. Peter was busy training in these new ministers. They needed somebody to attend to the daily ministration. And he says, it's not right that we leave this training to go and wait on tables. And we've already covered that the word tables there is banks. And of course, this is why Stephen was the first martyr, is because follow the money. Nobody cares about martyring some guy who's running a food kitchen somewhere, you know, and he's waiting on tables and serving pancakes in the morning and, you know, and gruel and all those things. He's not waiting on tables. He's in charge of the bank. What bank? The bank that's receiving the contributions of the people and redistributing them to the needy of their society. And he is the minister's banker. But we shouldn't even call it a bank. And like I said before, this really resembles more what we would call today is a credit union. There's also another name, a friend's trust or something. But basically, a credit union really fits the bill closely. I mean, seven guys, seven board of directors. The board of directors can't receive a wage or payment. You may charge interest, but it's not usury because it cannot be used for profit, only to pay the light bill and the expenses. And they provide you access to what is very important in today's economy, banking. Because you can't hardly, you know, a lot of people, oh, I don't want to touch money. You know, it's love of money, you know, the root of all evil. Money is the root of all evil is what they say, and it's actually love of money. Money is just a medium of exchange. Today, that medium of exchange is notes. Actually, it's mostly like debit cards and digital data entries. But that could all go away in a moment, in a flash, in a twinkling of an eye. But the reality is, it's there now. And we can, you know, if there's a bridge, I'm going to use a bridge. If there's only a rope across the river, I'll use the rope across the river. If there is no rope, I'll swim it. But if there's a bridge, I'll walk across the bridge. I'll use it because we know the substance of the kingdom is the spirit of the kingdom. The money isn't important. The thing isn't important. The objects aren't important. We don't worship objects. We're not idolaters. We worship in spirit and in truth. And in truth meaning in our actions. We don't just love the poor or the needy or our brother or our neighbor in the pew. We actually get out there and do that love. Put it into action. Serving others. That's important. And the early church, since they could no longer access the free bread and circuses of Rome, they had to take care of themselves. So this is what they were doing. They were the church appointed by Christ, the apostles, apostolos, the ambassadors of Christ, were appointing men over this matter. Now those men were elected by the people, but the apostles only had to appoint men that they thought could handle this. Why didn't the people just elect them and say, well, you're elected? Because then they're not the church. They're only the church if they're appointed by the apostles. You didn't create the church. You can establish the church by your witness. That's why we have a thing we call sacred purpose trust. A consecrated entrusting of funds or money or resources to Christ. How do you do that? Throw it up in the air? And whatever Christ wants, he can grab? No, you give it to men, you look out amongst yourselves and you give it to men you trust. But how do we make those men the church? Ordained ministers of his church, of Christ's holy church, must recognize these people. Now they're recognized by the people as the ministers of the people and they're recognized by the church as ministers of the people. And so ex officio, they're representing Christ. Now, why do I make a difference between ordained ministers and these ministers who are really licensed by the people to be the... See, you as an individual, you can license someone to be your minister. Nobody else in the world can license him to be your minister but you. You're the only one who can give him permission to be your minister. Now, you have other ministers, probably, that you didn't license directly. Somebody else appointed them over you. But that's in the other church, the public church, the public religion, the public welfare system that most people depend on. They don't depend on Christ. They don't depend on faith, hope, and charity. They're trying to establish their utopia, their kingdom of God, their righteous government by force. They're forcing their neighbor to contribute to their welfare. Every one of you who sends your kids to public school are people of violence. Public school is a violent organization, a violent creation. And why do I say that? That sounds crazy, right? Oh, what are you talking about? We got a great public school. It doesn't have anything to do with violence. We don't even allow guns in our public school. No, your public school is violent because it's funded by men who exercise authority, who force the contributions of the people. If I decide I don't want to contribute to your public school, can I do that? Can I say, I don't like what they're teaching down there, I'm not going to fund them? Well, you can go ahead and try that, but they're going to take your house away. Because if you don't, you know, if you don't pay that property tax, which funds the school, they're going to come and take your house away. They're going to, I mean, you have a $200,000 home, you owe $10,000 taxes. They're going to take the whole house away, and in most cases, they won't give you a dime back. They're going to take the whole thing away, sell it to somebody else, take all the money, and they'll fund the school that way. That's force. Now, you've created that institution because of your covetous practices. You wanted your school more than righteousness, more than faith, hope, and charity. You wanted your school more than you loved your neighbor, so you were absolutely willing and content to force your neighbor to contribute to your desires through men who exercise authority one over the other. John the Baptist said, no. If you got some extra time, extra money, and your neighbor needs educating, you help out and pay for that education with your extra money. You do it with charity. You do the same if your neighbor doesn't have a coat and you have two, you share. You do the same with food. If you got more food than you need and your neighbor doesn't have enough, you share. You get to choose how to share, when to share, and with whom to share. That's called liberty. That's called exousia in the Greek. That is called the power to choose. You have that. Unless, of course, you've sold that power to choose to somebody else in order to get free bread and entertainment and social security. And so if you've sold that right, you don't have that right to choose anymore. You want that right back? What do? Demand it back? No, absolutely. That doesn't work. Never has. Didn't work in the American Revolution. You said, well, wait, it did. We won that. No, you won your liberty before the revolution took place. The revolution was fought because of unwarranted usurpations, because somebody was seizing a use they did not have, because for hundreds of years before that, men were becoming landed freemen on their own property. They were working, they were fighting, they were struggling, they were striving, they were dying to become free men, owning their own land in fee simple, untaxed by all the world, becoming a tough nut to crack, as James Truslow says in his March of Democracy, page 45. You're not that man. You don't have the right to revolt. If you do, it's simply rebellion. In the American Revolution, it was the king that was rebelling against a freedom and liberty they had already won. You probably don't know that. Why? Because you went to public school. But you go read some of the stuff that we have with 500, 600, 700, 800 footnotes showing you where we get this crazy information, and you'll find out why America was free and why Americans are free no more. They are back in the bondage of Egypt. Now they want to be free. You have to repent. You have to confess your iniquities. You have to turn around and follow the ways of Christ, seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's it. Simple. Now, what does that look like? It looks like people who come together to serve, to love one another, to be caring about their neighbor's freedom as much as their own. They're not guys who suddenly say, I'm just going to be a free sovereign, and nobody's going to tell me what to do anymore. I'm going to be a sovereign. Bunk. That doesn't work that way. Freedom is not free. Ever hear that? Well, you heard it again. So anyway, back to daily ministration. This is what they were doing. And of course, they were doing this before Acts 6. They were doing it with Christ. They were out there, you know, feeding people at times and helping people and tending to the sick and healing the sick. But the reality is, when you do this really by faith, hope, and charity, not just token stuff for your own pride and vanity, which is, you know, Christ warns about that, but you really, it's written on your heart. Miracles start taking place. So anyway, in our page, Daily Ministration at preparingyou.com, I write, the Daily Ministration was a social welfare of society. It was how the social welfare of society operated. That's what it is. And there's a little link there, and you click on the link that goes to a page called Welfare, which talks with, Paul says in Romans 11:9, and David saith, quoting David back in Psalm 69:22, let their table be made a snare and a trap, a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. So he's telling you, he's talking about a table here. Let their table, is this the same kind of table that Stephen was in charge of? No, this is their table. Their table becomes a stumbling block and a trap. Why? Because of the same reason Peter talks about it. Because their table is based on covetousness, upon force. John the Baptist's table was based on charity. Christ's table was based on charity. Moses' table, altars, were based on charity. Free will offerings, free will offerings, free will offerings. I don't know how many times I can say it. They say it all kinds of times in the Bible. They don't say charity in the Old Testament. They say free will offerings. Same thing. And why do they need all this money? Take care of the needy and the sick and the infirm. And with that will come a spiritual power that gives you strength. And on that welfare page, you go down a little farther, there's the links to two types of welfare systems. Those that are voluntary, which depend on charity and free will offerings, and those that are dependent on men who exercise authority one over the other, but call themselves benefactors. So all the welfare systems of the world are divided up into those two kinds. Now, you can take the ones of force and divide them up into other divisions. I mean, you can, like, communism and socialism, you know, and democratic socialism. But they all still depend on force. It doesn't matter if it's by the voice of the mob or by the voice of a king. It's still force. One is by force and covetousness, and the other one is by love and charity. So there's your two different types of welfare systems. And this was the conflict of Christians with Rome. And if you go back and I go on to say in here, those who got the baptism of Christ were cast out of the system of social welfare run by the Pharisees through the exercising authority of the government. They were cast out of the synagogues, which is where this network. Read our article on Are Christians Idiots? And what I'm actually saying, are Christians idiotas? Christians were considered idiotas, not because they were illiterate, but because they were unregistered. Because you had to register to get the benefits of the temple under Herod. In the kingdom of God, you have to register, but not in the same way. You don't give up any rights. You come to serve, and then you will be served. If you come to get services from others, then you will go into bondage. That's it. That's just the way it works. That's the law of nature. As you, so shall ye be. And that's the way it works. If you covet your neighbor's goods, your goods will be coveted by your neighbors, and you got a whole lot more neighbors than you. The funds needed to operate that system of Corbin were collected from the members as a tax under the Pharisees. Their Corbin was based on a tax, based on your membership. And that's where Herod got all his money to build his golden temple. People didn't mind that because the temple really looked pretty, and then the gold was kind of the reserve fund, and we've talked about that. The golden calf, that was a reserve fund. The golden statue in Athens, that was called the reserve fund because that's why it's there. It's a vault. It's a golden vault of your own funds to protect you, because you know not what day, what calamity may come. So anyway, there's another link there for Corbin. Go read about Corbin. You think Corbin is just, you know, the Corbin of the Pharisees was making the word of God to none effect. Why? Because you paid in to the temple, and did no more ought for your parents. You just said, well, I gave the temple. I don't have any more money to give to you. Sorry, you have to starve to death. No, no. That's not what they're saying. It's saying what you guys all say. Mom and dad are on Social Security. Why aren't you supporting your mom and dad? Don't you honor your mother and your father? No, well, no, I pay into Social Security and they collect a Social Security check. So, you know, I worked in a convalescent home. That's where I met my wife. And they'd have a Christmas party. Most of the people who came, they'd be down at the Christmas party. They weren't patients. They were the sons and daughters. They come there for the party. We're just here for the party. Their parents are up in the room, laying in bed. They're not there for their family. They're there for the party. We never saw so many people when they come to the Christmas party. This is ridiculous. Now, I'm not picking on you for your Christmas party, but the reality is that you weren't taking care of your parents. You weren't changing the sheets. You weren't taking care of them. You weren't, long before they get to that point, you're supposed to honor your father and your mother. That word honor means to fatten. It's the same Hebrew word for liver. These are metaphors. They're telling you you're supposed to be taking care of your parents. You don't do that. You say, that's Social Security. And you know, it divides the family. When you don't have to make that sacrifice for your parents, who's going to make it? I had somebody who was wanted to put their mother-in-law in a convalescent home. They couldn't stay alone in their own house anymore. And they didn't want to move them in with them because that would just be hell. And they supposed to love their mother-in-law. They were going to put them into an institution, into a nice place and everything. They shopped around, tried to find a nice place. And the daughter said, no, we should take care of her. She's not that bad off. She just needs to be watched a little bit closer. So she doesn't leave something on the stove or stuff like that. And I'd make sure she eats because she'll get up and feel tired and not want to eat. So, we got an extra room in the house and let's put her in the house. And they said, well, no, it's easier to do that. I says, okay, well, give me the address that you're going to put her so I know where to put you when you need a place to be. I thought, way to go. And guess what? They took mom home. They didn't put her in an institution. You need that. If you divide the family, you become a schizophrenic society. A schizo society, a divided society. That's a symbol of what's going on in your soul. So yeah, honor thy father and thy mother so that your days will be long upon the land. Because if you stick them in the home and they die there twice as fast, because they're not really cared for as well as you could have done, then your daughter should put you in a home so that you die sooner. That's the way it works. So anyway, next line. The church operated by the perfect law of liberty. They say that. What does that mean? Well, there's a link there that goes and talks about the perfect law of liberty. There's a link there that talks about the church. What is the church? This body or community established by Jesus Christ for his purposes, teaching his doctrines. His doctrine said, be a doer of the word. Be not covetous. Keep the commandments. But you, through your covetous practices, are made merchandise. Goes on, another link back to welfare. People through faith, hope, and charity, each one's a link, and the perfect law of liberty provided the welfare of society. The church used to be health, education, and welfare. The church community used to be FEMA, the Faith Emergency Ministry Auxiliary. But now you've gone to men who exercise authority. And you wonder why there's no hue and cry in the land? In the last show, we told you all these road closures and everything. We told you how you could take care of that. If you didn't hear that show, you need to get that copy. It'll be number 2 in this series, I think. And we have talked about it, I think, even in number 1. Tells you how to do it. And what they're talking about there is customs and uses. Customs and uses. We don't even understand that anymore. We think law is what is on the statutes. Law used to be customs and uses. You establish the law. Not just by a jury of your peers, but by what you do. And you need to get back to that. And the only way you can get back to that is you become doers of the word. So we'll take a break, and we'll be right back.
Things things seem to be going wrong in the world today. Every aspect of our lives seems to be under attack sometimes. Many struggle to make sense out of it. What is really going on? Identifying the problem is critical to any solution. Many people claim to have answers. But what is the truth? What works? What has worked in the past? History does repeat itself, and you must learn from it. You have choices. We cannot change the course of history, but we may change our role in it. All roads lead to Rome. All roads lead to the kingdom of God. The question is, which way are you going? Join us to make sense out of it all for an iconoclastic look at the world yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and hear about the keys of the kingdom.
My name is Mark, and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean, and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
For more information, contact us at hisholychurch.org or email us at radio@hisholychurch.org or write us at His Church, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. So welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. We're talking about the perfect law of liberty. We're talking about the welfare of Christ and the welfare of the world. We're talking about the welfare of love and the welfare of force and control. And if you opt for the one of force and control, you will be forced and controlled. If you opt for the one that's based on love and faith and hope and charity, well, then you will receive love, hope, faith, and charity. It's that simple. As ye judge, so shall ye be judged. As you do, so shall it be done unto you. Do not be greedy for gain, for you shall be another man's gain. I should read that to you. I don't know if you have a concordance or if you look up things with a concordance, but if you like look up the word knife, you'll come up to Proverbs 23:2, and it's one of my favorites, and I read it often. When thou sittest and eat with a ruler, what do they mean ruler there? If in the Greek it'd be arche, someone who can exercise authority. If you're sitting and eat with a ruler, that ruler is your hierarchy. Consider diligently what is before thee. Somebody offer you a benefit, something for free, health care, education, welfare, social insurance of any kind. That's what he's putting before you. And if you sit and eat with a ruler who offers you that, a benefactor who exercises authority, consider diligently what is before you. Consider diligently. That word is only translated consider about 22 times, 62 times, almost 100 times altogether. It's translated either understand or understanding. Understand diligently what is before you. The word consider diligently, it's all the same. It's the same understanding. What is before thee? And then it tells you what to do. And put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Given to appetite. Now that's interesting. Because the word appetite there, it's normally translated soul, life, person. It's translated soul 475 times. It's translated appetite twice. Why would they put the word soul there instead of, and how can they translate it appetite? Be a man given, be a man of appetite. What they're talking about is that if you don't mind eating of other souls, if you're a vampire, if you're a zombie, and it doesn't bother you to eat of other men's flesh, of other men's soul. You know, they actually use that analogy elsewhere. Take a bite out of one another. That's New Testament. That's what they're talking about. Because, see, that ruler, why do they say ruler? Are all rulers rich and got money to give away? No, rulers take money from other people and they give it to those that they love or want to control. They use it as bait to get more people to join up. I mean, Herod did. But Proverbs tells you, be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich. Now, does that mean there's something wrong with being rich? No. They're not talking about rich in that sense. Labor not to be enriched is what they're saying. At the cost of another man's soul. You know, if you could be rich, if I could be rich and help people, that gives me more power to help people. It's no shame to be poor, as Tevye says. There's no great honor either. It's no great opportunity either to be poor, except the opportunity to be patient. But if you were rich, think of all the good you could do and help other people. Would you just squander all your wealth by just giving it away to every drug addict and lazy person on the street and alcoholic and what have you? That would be terrible. You would be serving nobody. You'd be making them weaker and weaker and weaker. No, if you were rich, you should take your money and invest it in a business, make more money, so that you have more money to help out the poor with your surplus, because you have more surplus because you're making more than you need. You could go out, and now when I say help people, I don't mean just give to them. I mean help them become free souls under God. Start establishing that social network of people who care about each other and provide for their need when they have need, when they fall off the ladder, when they get sick, when they get an injury. We're doing that. And nobody hardly is supporting us in doing that. We're just doing it with somebody who's not even a member of our congregation. Why? Because we know their heart. And they're receptive to the healing that is coming. Now, we're not going to make a 90-year-old man young again. But he's already lived longer than the doctor said, and he looks better than he did when the doctor sent him home to die. And he's stronger than he was when he came home to die. Why? He's actually gets to enjoy life at times. Enjoy his family. The man is a very forgiving man. We need to keep every forgiving man alive because there's so little forgiveness in the world. So, anyway, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? To riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away. And what kind of riches is he talking about? This is, you know, there's several words in the Bible that are translated rich. So which one is this? This one that he's talking about. Let's see. We'll take a look. That's Asher in the Hebrew. Et Shem Resh. Resh. Resh is a word of authority. It's always a word of authority and power. So what is that all about? This rich that they're talking about. Does this just mean they got money? Or does this mean something else? Because if you look up the word rich, that word Asher is translated rich about 14 times. But I see the word rich showing up at least 80 times in the Bible. So, what word is that? Well, there are other words that also are translated rich. And they're translated honor, glory, honorable, heavy. It's amazing that, you know, in some places they're translated glorious or sore or made heavy. So there's lots of different meanings to these things. But in here, they're talking about eating with a ruler, somebody who exercises authority, and that you're to put a knife to your throat. And labor not to get that kind of wealth. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. Who loves you, baby? These guys who run these social welfare schemes based on force and control, what are they? Are they lovers of the people? Are they lovers of force and control? The morsel which thou hast eaten shalt thou vomit up and lose thy sweet words. Speak not in the ears of a fool, because the fools are going to go that way anyway. For he will despise the wisdom of thy words. Remove not the old landmarks and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. They're fatherless, but they call men their father. And Jesus said, call no man father, for their Redeemer is mighty. He shall plead their cause with thee. Apply thy heart unto instruction and thy ears to the words of knowledge. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Now, you know, a lot of people, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child. They don't understand that. There's a rod and there's a staff. The rod has a different purpose. You don't necessarily beat anything with a rod. You might beat them with a staff, but with a rod, no. The rod is for guiding and directing. That's what its purpose is. I skipped one verse back there. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward the heaven. You won't believe this, but they're talking about inflation. Inflation was a problem in Egypt. It was a problem in Rome. At the fall of Rome, you know, a sack of wheat went from 6 denarii to 120,000 denarii. Why? Inflation. Why? Because they took the silver out of the coin. You're following in those footsteps. Where are you going? Where is it taking you? It's not taking you to a good place. It's taking you to a bad place. Time to turn around and go the other way. That welfare of the Pharisees, they were sitting down and eating with the ruler Herod, giving him the power to collect taxes, to provide for the poor and the needy of society. And it worked real good at first, but it divided society. That idea that you are following Moses or following Christ, at the same time you're creating systems that practice covetousness, creates a schizophrenic society. It creates a conflict in society, just as schizophrenia is the result of conflict within you. And I talked about it in the last show, we ought to have some of these guys on as guests, but there are guys who are actually curing schizophrenia without drugs. They say it's the only way. Drugs actually slow down the process. But you have to take a journey into your mind, into the dark recesses of the labyrinth of your own temple, and clean out the corners of darkness and lies and deception. You have to give that all up. You have to fast from that. The Pharisees had brought the people into bondage, just like they were brought into bondage in Egypt. And that made the word of God to none effect, because they were returning to Egypt in Judea. Their Corban, their system of welfare, was a snare, as Paul said, as David said. And Christ came to set them free by teaching them how the kingdom works, so they would repent and follow his way. Both Paul and David told us that these welfare systems were a snare and a trap. I have the links there where you can go and check that out, which is why John the Baptist was setting up a charitable welfare system. If you have two coats and your neighbor has none, share. Do the same in meats. Do the same with everything. This binds you together with love. It makes you a strong society. If you don't do that, people get raped outside your door and you won't do anything. And they won't do anything for you. This is why Sodom and Gomorrah, they were doing this. People had to hide inside the house of Lot because they had become lawless. Why? Because they had abandoned the law. What is the law? Love thy neighbor as thyself. What does that look like? Sitting in the pew, having nice thoughts? No, it's actually taking care of them. Now, that doesn't mean just go down to Skid Row. You can certainly do that. But start becoming the welfare of your neighbor, and your neighbor the welfare of you. This is why Jesus and Moses said to love one another. Why Abraham, and I have dozens of quotes that show up on that. We can go through them all. And why Abraham and Moses built altars of earth and stone. And Jesus was building an altar, a living altar of living stones, a living temple. Each of you are that living temple, but together you are the collective of Christ. But you can only bind yourself not with swearing oaths, because you know we're told above all else stop the taking of oaths, swear not. Not by binding yourself to contracts, making covenants and contracts with God's many, but binding yourself together with love. Forming these congregations, and one of the dangers of forming these congregations is that you will start trimming the corners of your beard. Do you think that has anything to do with facial hair? If you do, you probably think the fact that the people were supposed to sew the underwear of the Levites had to do with their BVDs. It doesn't. These are metaphors. You know, I'm amazed at the number of people that have had alcohol and drug-related problems. They begin to lose their ability to manipulate metaphors. You know, and the devil loves that, because the metaphors, words are symbols of ideas. And if they have trouble with the metaphor, they you can't hardly communicate with them. You'll tell them a story and then they'll go off, you know, and they'll start making the ritual important, the outward signs important, because they don't realize that the outward signs are metaphors for spiritual principles. They have trouble with holding spiritual principles in their mind. So they cling to the symbols rather than the substance, because the substance is spiritual. When you make the thing substance, then you become an idolater. And that's what people are doing. They're worshiping the form. And this is, you know, you get people, oh, we're going to go back to the Old Testament and do it the way they were supposed to do it back then. But they don't. They go back to the Pharisees and do it the way they were doing it. Christ and Moses were in agreement. Do what Christ said. Christians don't do that. So anyway, I have several links here. I say, not understanding the meaning of religion, pure religion, false religion, and public religion has led the whole world away from the simple message of Christ while they think they are following him. These altars, these living altars, the stone altars, the clay altars are all living altars. And so the horns of the altar are what? If the altars were meant to be stones, what are the horns of the altars? This is really important to understand. But you don't have to understand the metaphor to understand. Because it's not the metaphor you need to... People want me to explain the horns of the altar. There's supposed to be these four horns on the altar. And nobody can figure out exactly what does that look like? What is that supposed to be? And there are some architectural stone carvings that show horns on altars. But the guys who made those carvings, did they actually know what they were talking about? Or had they missed it too? Because if the altars were living altars, what are the horns? Well, it's like the apostles. It's like the men who can appoint men over this or that or the other thing outside. So anyway, I won't give you the details of that. Let you ponder that for a while. These commandments are a way to bind the people together. The commandment of loving your neighbor as yourself. Trimming the corner of your beards, that's just like gang colors. You know, we're with those guys because our beard's cut this way. And we're with those guys because our beard is cut that way. But the fact is that that's just more division. That's signs of a psychotic society. And it's also a sign of idolatry. Because your division is not based on principle. It's based on how you trim the corners of your beard. You identify with them because you don't identify with the truth. If you identify with the truth, is not that sufficient? The union and discipline of the Christians was created by natural bonds that allowed the people to attend to the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith, including caring for the needs of their neighbor, the widows and orphans and the other needy of society, in pure religion, unspotted by the world. They had their own system of health, education, and welfare. They had their own system supported by faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty, free will offerings of the people, for the people, and by the people. They had that, all according to the perfect law of liberty, because they came together in free assemblies. And they're free assemblies because their contributions were freely given. And they were given up. Some people don't want that idea. Oh, wait a minute. You have to give it away entirely to the minister. We don't want to do that. We will give it to the church, and then we'll get on the board, and then we will give it to the minister. Then you haven't given it away. Your choice is at the point of giving. Freely give. Stop trying to con. Freely give. So then I start another series on that same page. And these are clips from the book, The Free Church Report. And one of the titles is, The Elders of Liberty Are the Altars of Earth. Boy, that's just chock full, you know, because the altars of earth were the altars of Adama, altars of clay. That clay was you. You are an altar of earth. Your family is an altar of earth. Then I talk about banking in the kingdom, the election to give is the Eucharist of Christ. And then finally, an appointment ex officio. And I explain these concepts and these ideas over and over again, and sometimes in great detail. And like I say, most of the following was taken from the Free Church Report, which you can get free online. And a lot of you won't understand it. I recommend you read something like Thy Kingdom Comes First, and then you can read The Covenants of the Gods. But really, don't just read. Get a hold of us. Join the Living Network. Help us find other people. People say, well, people are so scattered out in your church. Well, that's because you're not helping us find all the guys in between. And you have to do that. You have to look for them. It's like sheep on the desert. If you don't find them, coyotes eat them up. If you don't have a good shepherd, coyotes will eat them up. And the coyotes have been coming after our sheep. A long time we've been immune, but they've been coming lately. What does that mean? Are there coyotes looking for us, looking for you? Then you better gather together. And you better pray you get a good shepherd who will be there for you. Because the shepherds of the world, the rulers of the world, they're not going to be there for you. They want power. They don't want you to be free. They want to control you. The congregations of the people is composed of what Abraham called the altars of earth. The word is for earth there is Adama. That's what you're made out of. That's you. Each of us are living sacrificial altars of clay, sons of Adam, whose father was God. We are both priest and king of our own free will choice. Our offering within the family and to the community is only by charity. This is the way it works. This is the way it should work. This is the way it's always worked in righteous governments. In unrighteous, selfish governments, it doesn't work that way. The ministers of congregation is first chosen by the people, as we see being done back there in Acts 3. Each individual family is represented by the head of elders or elders of that family who freely choose their own ministers. In the document and form offered in service by his church, individuals may be called the electorate. Now, what are we talking about? The document they're talking about is Sacred Purpose Trust Form. And it creates a trust between you and Christ. You take something and you give it to a minister who you think is doing the will of God. And it is entered into a sacred purpose trust. And the emphasis is not on the word trust, but on the word sacred. It is consecrated to Christ, who has its own institutions for his own purpose, and we call it for religious purposes, but it is the church, and the church is separate from the state. And now what you have given the church is separate from the state, separate from you, but it's also separate from the state. And now only the church can decide how to distribute it. And you watch them and make sure they do it well, and if they do it well, give it to them again. If they don't give to them again. It's up to you. It's the perfect law of liberty. But when you give it to that minister, you're saying, I believe this minister to be a minister of Christ. Now, you can't withdraw those funds later, but you can stop giving to that minister. That's a tremendous power in regulating government. You think you regulate government with a constitution? You regulate government with your pocketbook. And since the church is a government that does not exercise authority, it has authority, but doesn't have exercising authority over the people, it's a different kind of government than the rest of the world. It's a government that operates by faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty. And that's a good thing for those who seek righteousness. It's a bad thing for those who don't. So that's what we have to do. That's where we have to go if we're going to turn around and go the other way. Because we've been going the way, whoring after the rulers of the earth who exercise authority in order to get the benefits of their grace. We need to repent of that and turn around and go the other way. So I encourage everybody to join the Living Network. If you're online, get online and join the Living Network. If you're not, give us a call and we'll try to put you in touch with local people. If you don't see anybody on the network, you still have to register with us by picking some kind of a minister, some kind of a contact minister, so that if somebody calls us, I can say, oh, we got a guy here, we got a guy there, et cetera, et cetera. And then you guys start working out your salvation with fear and trembling. You start doing that. And till then, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.